to Thursday night Bible study. We're so glad you're here. We have been praying and preparing and just praising the Lord because He has provided so many great things for us as we have been getting ready, writing the curriculum and recruiting small group leaders and training them, and we are ready. So we are super, super excited that you're here. Every week we're going to have that little song and dim the lights and bring them back up, and that will be your signal that it's time to get started. Before that, we invite you to come, sit around the tables like you're doing right now, and just enjoy the fellowship, because this is a place that we want you to feel comfortable, we want you to feel loved, and we want you to feel connected with each other as you all study God's Word. We're going to learn so much this year about God's loyal love for us. We will see His loyal love for David, and as we study that, that will translate to our lives, and we will be strengthened and we will be encouraged as we are reminded of how much God loves us through the triumphs and through the troubles of our own lives. So it's a joy to have all of you here. My name is Gigi Hornberger, and I'm the director of women's equipping here at Watermark. And we have just, like I said, we've been working hard, have a big team of ladies who have been working hard. One person who's been working really hard is the director of our class, and she is Ann Halford, and you will hear from her tonight. She's one of our teachers, so she'll come up in just a second and teach, and then after her teaching time, we will break up into small group rooms and go, and you'll get to meet your small groups. But before Ann comes up, I wanted to introduce you to my boss, Bobby Crotty. Bobby is the director of men's equipping here at Watermark, and he wanted to come and just kick us off by praying for us and saying a warm welcome to you as well.
Boss, I'm not your boss.
You are my boss.
Wow. I just want to soak this in for a second. I started my day speaking to about 75 summit leaders as we're getting ready to start our men's Bible study. And I don't know why, but this room is just so much better. What is it? It may be that the folks in this room are prettier and smarter and more faithful. But other than that, it's, you know, just everybody here at Watermark, here we are. Ladies, I count it a real privilege to be able to come and just say a few words. It's not an accident. We're actually studying Proverbs. Wagner's going to teach Proverbs to the men, which will be a good thing for y'all if we get these guys figuring out what's going on and how to live wisely instead of being the fools that we typically are. But the bottom line is that it is not an accident that Proverbs both begins with wisdom personified as a woman and ends in Proverbs 31 with the quintessential Proverbs 31 woman, who is the wife that everyone's mother-in-law would pick out for them, okay? So y'all, it is a treat. I've been on staff for 10 years. And this is the first time I've been invited to do this, so I count that as a huge blessing. So let me pray for you and let y'all get started. Lord, what a privilege it is just to assemble in this building with these wonderful women who are devoting their Thursday nights to learning more about 2 Samuel, to learn more about your son, and to learn ultimately about the Davidic covenant that your son will occupy that throne one day, and we'll all have a chance to witness and participate in that. And so, Father, I am humbled to stand before these women and to just lay their study at your throne of grace. May your hand of favor and blessing and protection be on each one of them. May they dive in deeply to the Word. May the Word inform the way that they live their lives, and that as they learn these truths of Scripture, May it simply inform the way that they go about their daily lives. So, Father, I'm excited to see what you're going to do. And I'm excited to see with both the men and women in the Old Testament studying the truths that we see that you are indeed the same God, whether the Old Testament or the New. And we are grateful to call you our Heavenly Father, and we are grateful for the privilege of worshiping you. So thanks for these women. Thanks for this time. May their study be a huge blessing in each of their lives. Amen.
That means so much that you would be here with us tonight. Just like Gigi said, we are so excited that all of you are here. I hope you had a really good summer, did some fun things, some memorable things. To me, tonight marks the official end of summer and the beginning of a new year. And I bet there are some of you here that are like, I'm ready for a new year. There are a lot of ways that you could be spending your Thursday nights, and we're so glad that you're spending them with us. We're all busy. We all want to spend our time on things that matter. So this year, we're going to dig deep into God's Word in 2 Samuel, and we're going to talk about things that matter with people you're going to love doing that with. So tonight, I'm looking forward to just catching up with some of you, to meeting some new women. I think we all know one of the most exciting things that has happened around here since our study finished last spring. We got Costco right across the street. I've never been a Costco person before because there's just never been a Costco in my world. But now, like, I can push that big red shopping basket around and fill it with large quantities of things I never knew I needed before. So I think our study is going to be a lot like Costco. God is going to show us things we never knew we needed before. You may be here tonight just because a friend dragged you here and you can't think of any more excuses to say no. You may have seen us on the website and have shown up tonight and not know a single person in this room. You might be sitting here thinking, hey, y'all have no idea what's going on in my life. It took a lot of courage for me to even walk through that door. You may just be back with us. You may not really be sure who this Jesus is, but you just want to meet some women. Or you may know the Bible pretty well and you want to dig deeper. But no matter how you got here, know that you are here by no accident. God has things he wants to show you and me. He knows exactly where you are right now, and he knows what you're going to be facing in the coming months. So here's how the study works. So every week, outside of in the hall, there are those kiosks where you can print a name tag. So do that. Like, we love name tags. And we know a lot of you come here straight from work, and everybody's coming from some sort of crazy busy day, so we will always have food here because that's how we show you we love you. So there will be dinner to purchase for $5 every week. It'll either be Nukes, Chick-fil-A, Nukes, or Chick-fil-A. We keep it really simple, so there's no guessing what are we having. You'll always know. We will open this room at 6:30 every week. We'll have the food here. We also have drinks for everybody, some kind of snack for everybody. So if you want to just come straight here, get here early, you can come in, meet some new people, talk to somebody, don't talk to somebody if you don't want to. But we will start this study officially at 7 p.m. in this room every week. And we keep it really simple. The first part of the evening, one of us teaches about the passage we looked at that week. And then the rest of the evening is spent in your small group. So you will get, when you get in your small group, you will get a curriculum for this year. And so that's what you do during the week on your own time. So we have that curriculum for you. Just, we really want you to dig deep into God's Word, to wrestle with what God says in His Word. So I would encourage you every time you sit down with your Bible and with this curriculum, just to pray and ask God, hey, God, what do you want to show me? And what do you want me to do with what you show me? So we're excited about the curriculum. Also, you will see some women in these t-shirts. If you need to know where to go, you got a question, just grab one of these women in these t-shirts and we will try to answer your question. You have been or you will be placed in a small group with other women. Again, by no accident. We pray a lot about how you are placed in your small group. So there are women that are put there to encourage you this year. And there are also women that God put there so you can encourage them. So see your small group that way. Our purpose in small groups is to make it real, to get to the so what. We want it to be a place that you can process God's word together, to be honest about what's going on in your life, to be listened to and encouraged and challenged and reminded of truth. So really get to know the women in your group. Some of them will be a lot like you. Others will be very different. But they're all worth getting to know. I am a big fan of LaCroix sparkling water. I like the lime. So at the grocery store, I buy the multi-pack of the lime LaCroix. It's one of my favorite things to drink. But when I went to Costco, y'all, they have this big thing. And it's a variety pack. It has all these different flavors in it. So I was kind of skeptical, but it was a better deal. So if you know me, like, I'm always a sucker for the better deal. So I bought the variety pack. I thought, maybe I'll just drink the lime. But I realized Costco knew what they were doing, because now I like all the flavors. So when you get in your small group tonight, you may look around and you go, I think I'm in the wrong place. Or you may go, these are not like my women last year. Just consider that God may know what he is doing and that he will give you women in your life that you never knew you needed. You have an enemy who does not want you in the study of God's word, does not want you here. So I just say this every year because it's true. So when you sit down at home with your Bible to do your lesson, something's going to happen. You're going to get some kind of interruption. Somebody's going to text you. Just know that's going to happen. And if you have a really bad day at work, it's going to be a Thursday. If you have a huge fight with your boyfriend, it's going to be a Thursday. So when that happens, just go, and don't let the enemy get the upper hand. So come and be faithful. Sometimes we don't think it matters, but it does. So come for what you'll get out of the study, to be reminded of truth with women who are for you. But if there's a Thursday night where you're like, I don't really feel like coming, come for the women in your group. Even if you are barely here, totally frazzled, and you don't have your lesson done, your being here will encourage the women in your group. So have the gift of showing up, and God will give you things you never knew you needed. I want to take a little time just to set up 2 Samuel this year. That's the book that we will be studying. So we've kind of got the light so nice and dim out here, I'll try to see you. Raise your hand if you have studied 2 Samuel before. Okay, keep your hands up. Look around. Okay, you're not alone if you have not studied 2 Samuel. So I taught this at the Fort Worth daytime study yesterday. Not one woman raised her hand, y'all. So don't feel alone. So when you are tempted to think, everybody in here knows all this except me, just remember this moment. 2 Samuel is the story of King David. He is the most famous king of all time. God said about David, he's a man after my own heart. That's a pretty big statement. So you may know a little about David. Okay, David, he was the shepherd boy, right? And he's the David of David and Goliath. But no matter what you're already knowing about David, like, this study will blow up what you used to think. When you open 2 Samuel chapter 1 tomorrow, I hope, you will see that you're jumping into the middle of a story. 1 and 2 Samuel were originally one book. So when you start, you may feel like, wait, I think I'm in season two and I didn't see season one. So I'm going to say over and over and over, don't worry if you don't know who all the characters are. If you can't follow the plot line of a battle, it is not so important to know the name of the commander of David's army as it is to know the character of David's God. Keep the main thing the main thing. David is a great leader, a great king, but he is not the hero of this story. God is the hero of this story. So every year we want to take whatever we're studying and put it into the context of all of Scripture. I'm going to say context is key, because when you see something in context, it's going to mean a lot more to you. My husband, if you saw a picture of him, you would look at him and you'd go, well, his hair, he's pretty good, pretty thick. He's thinning a little bit on the top. And you go, okay. But if you knew the context of his life, you'd see him differently. Because he has been totally bald on top for over 10 years. He doesn't even know I'm telling this either. So backstory on him is, my husband has a lot of medical problems, like not even time to tell you all of his medical problems. His most recent is that he has prostate cancer. So a year ago, right now, just as this study was starting, we were going to MD Anderson in Houston like all the time. He did 8 weeks of radiation Monday through Friday. So we were going back and forth to Houston all the time. Another part of his treatment, they gave him these some kind of shots. Well, all that was bad, but the good part of all that was, like, after he got into that, people started going, Neil, your hair is growing back. And, like, it seriously, it was. It is. So now, like, it's a little thin, but he's got, like, a total head of hair on the top. And so if you see him now and you know the backstory, you're going to go, Neil, your hair is awesome. So I want to take a few minutes to put 2 Samuel into the context of the Bible. The Bible is one story beginning to end. It's a story of a God who loves us and redeems us. He's faithful. His faithfulness does not depend on whether you're faithful. And God is purposeful. He has a plan. Like all of this craziness, it's going somewhere. So I want to set up 2 Samuel so that when you open it, you're going to be able to jump right into this amazing story, and it is. So I want to give you a sneak peek and tell you why it matters to you. So when you open 2 Samuel, here's what's going to be happening. So this messenger comes to David and tells David that the king of Israel, King Saul, has been killed in a military battle. And so this messenger also admits he helped finish King Saul off. So David mourns King Saul. He's really angry at this messenger. And if you read that, you'll go, okay. Mm-hmm. But if you know the backstory, you'll be amazed when you read that. So here's the backstory. Early in the Old Testament, God chose Israel to be the ones he would use so that they would know who God is. So he wanted them to be different in a way that other people would look at them and go, oh, their God, different than our gods. Look how their God loves them and leads them. He's there with them. And God wanted to be their leader. 1 Samuel 8 tells us, the Israelites looked around at everybody else and they're like, God, we don't want to be different. We want to be like everybody else. We want to be governed by a king. Our king will fight our battles. God warned them. He goes, you're not going to like it. But what does God often do when we want to go our own way instead of his way? He lets us. So that's what God did. He gave him a king, King Saul. Well, to set up 2 Samuel, it really helps to know who King Saul is. So I thought the best way for you to really know a little bit about King Saul would be just to invite him to be here with us. So, King Saul.
I am King Saul. I'm attractive, good looking, and obviously a good warrior. I'm basically everything you would want in a celebrity leader. Everything started out great. I mean, I'm king and all, and I'm victorious. But it didn't end so well. I disobeyed God, and I lied. And then God had the nerve to say he was going to take away my kingdom and give it to somebody else, a man after God's own heart. What's that about? A man I was going to hate.
Thank you, Saul. So we can see that God takes sin seriously. So that man after God's own heart that God chose was David. So to set the stage for 2 Samuel, it helps to know a little bit about David's early life, because David's 30 years old when we're going to meet him in 2 Samuel. So I thought, you know, what better way for you to know a little bit about David than just to invite him to be here? David?
Got my start as a shepherd. Now, when you think shepherd, don't think pet sitter. A shepherd is a strong, fierce protector.
So I think if you've heard of David, if you grew up in Sunday school or church and you learned about David, I think the art world has done a disservice to us and to David. I've got a little slide that shows David the shepherd boy in the way that you might picture him. Like, that is not what David was like. Just like he told us, not a pet sitter, a strong, fierce protector.
God directed the prophet Samuel to come to my family's home and anoint me as the future king of Israel. But it was more than 20 years before I took the throne. Now
Now you may know the story of David and Goliath. Well, Goliath was a Philistine, a huge, intimidating warrior for the Philistines. And I knew that God would give us victory against Goliath. And so I came against him in the name of the Lord our God. With a slingshot and five smooth stones, I killed Goliath.
Now, again, I think the art world has done us a disservice, because I always thought growing up, I pictured David and Goliath. Goliath's this big guy, and David's this, like, wimpy little kid that made a lucky shot. But that's not who David was. David was a skilled person. He was a strong young man. He was skilled with his slingshot that was a weapon of the day. So the reason Goliath died is because God allowed that shot to happen. Make no mistake. But David was not just some wimpy little kid.
And I became an instant celebrity. People wrote songs about me. Saul killed his thousands and David killed his 10,000s. Well, there's nothing that a politician hates more than someone who is more popular than he is. And so King Saul was very jealous of me and became obsessed with killing me. And for years, even though I knew that God had anointed me as a future king, I spent years on the run hiding from Saul. I had many opportunities to kill Saul. And you might wonder why I didn't just take care of that problem. But I knew that God had anointed him as the king of Israel, and I could not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed.
David, thank you for being with us. We are so cheesy, but I hope that you will remember Saul and David. Now, what you heard David say, like, he had a chance to take care of his problem. But he so respected God's will, done God's way, in God's timing, he could never bring himself to hurt Saul. Like, I need to hear that. And we watch David wait very well for God to bring about his will. I need to hear that as well. Well, God's will, God's way, was for King Saul to be killed in a military battle. So when I circle back to the beginning of 2 Samuel, we see the messenger come to David and say, King Saul has been killed. And then when you see David mourn Saul, this man who has literally for years tried to kill him, then you go, wow, that is amazing. The book of 2 Samuel divides kind of nicely into two main sections, David's triumphs and David's tragedies. So David had some times of great, courageous trust in God that will amaze you. He had other times of gigantic failure that will amaze you. So with David, we're going to have some high highs and some low lows. In the first five chapters, we will see David's righteous road to reign as the future king of Israel. And y'all, you're going to love David. He is a great leader, a great king. He's a really cool guy. He's a writer. He's a musician. He's a songwriter. Like, he kind of has it all. Great warrior. He's the kind of man, the kind of leader that you'd want to follow. And things go very well for David until about November, we'll see him meet the beautiful Bathsheba. She is the wife of one of David's loyal soldiers and friends. And after that, David's life is never the same again. So when I go to the movie or watch TV, Neil, my husband, he's always like, you always talk to the characters. It's like not saying that as a compliment at all. But when I'm watching TV or a movie and I see a character about to do something where you're like, oh, this is going to be bad. Like, I have to tell him, like, out loud, like, don't open that door. Don't kiss her. And so when you see David meet Bathsheba, you're going to say, David, don't do that. So we'll end the semester as the consequences of this sin start to unfold. And I can think of no stronger warning of how wide and long and high and deep the consequences of sin can be. Some of you know that. But we will see a God whose loyal love is wider and longer and higher and deeper than any sin. Any sin. David's or yours or mine. 2 Samuel may be confusing, but it will not be boring. There is a lot of drama in 2 Samuel. You will see it this week in chapter 1. So there was one lesson we were trying to count up how many murders there were. So you will see great victory, leadership, friendship, loyalty, betrayal, murder, rape, jealousy, a dysfunctional family. And you'll see a God whose loyal love is faithful through it all, whose love never fails in triumph or tragedy. You're going to encounter people in these pages and you're going to go, who's that? So we're going to try to resource you to know who these people are, but knowing everybody's name is not the main thing. So keep the main thing the main thing. Some Bible studies want you to ask the question, what does this say about me? What am I going to learn about myself? The Bible is about God. Our purpose is that you know about God. So when we study the Bible, we always want to look into the story and go, God, what are you going to show us about yourself? And what difference do you want that to make in my life? So every week as you do the lesson, ask God to show you something about himself and what he wants to do with that. Because what we believe determines how we behave. So I am one of three girls. I'm the oldest sister. And when we were little, my middle sister and I told Ellen, our youngest sister, we said, Ellen's not really your name. Your name is actually Belinda. So, like, where we got Belinda, I have no clue. But, like, we were consistent. We thought of every angle. We were like, if you ask Mom and Dad, they're going to tell you it's not true because they just don't want you to know. So when Ellen went to first grade and she was writing her name at the top of her paper, she wrote Belinda. So it was just a few days before the teacher called our mom and said, maybe I misunderstood. Is her name actually Belinda? Like, we were totally busted after that. But Ellen believed that we were trustworthy, and she acted on that. Like, that is one of my many regrets in my life, is doing that to her. And I hate to throw my middle sister under the bus, because I'm sure I was the ringleader of it. But what you believe about God determines how you're going to apply His word to your life. Decisions you make, how you spend your time, your money, how you treat people. That's where we're trying to go. You build your life on what you believe about God. So what will we see about God in 2 Samuel? His loyal love never fails, no matter what. His love does not depend on whether you're faithful or not. I know there are many of you in this room who had somebody tell you that they're going to love you for their whole life, and they didn't. That makes it really hard to believe God when He says that. But I pray that God will use 2 Samuel to help you to dare to believe God that that is true for you. His loyal love never fails. In your triumph, in your trouble, even trouble of your own making. Next, God wants to accomplish His will, His way, His timing. Are you waiting for God to do something? I'm tempted to get really stressed out, take matters into my own hands, do things my way. But just because you can't see what God is doing doesn't mean He's not doing anything. So I pray that you will, through 2 Samuel, trust God to do His will in His way, in His timing, and that you will be freed of that temptation to always try to take things into your own hands and do it your way. And finally, God's forgiveness. God hates sin, but He loves sinners. He always responds to repentance with forgiveness. God can forgive the very worst sin. There is no sin that is beyond His ability to forgive. But even though you're forgiven, God doesn't always take away the consequences. You know, you probably heard the saying before, we're free to choose our actions, but we are not free to choose the consequences of our actions. So you may be here tonight living with the consequences of a choice you made, or the choice that somebody else made that greatly affects you. Always remember, God is with you even in the consequences. God knows just where you are right now. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going to be facing in the coming months. And He has you here by no accident. He loves you with a love that is loyal beyond anything you'll ever experience. Now, most people think the Bible is full of these boring, unrelatably good people that are put there just to show, you know, how to live a good life. That's not true. If you've ever read the Bible before, you know that God portrays us as we really are. Sinful, selfish, we are mean to our little sisters, we are unable to follow God's way. So the Bible shows people that need a Savior. The Bible also shows a God who knows the depths of your heart and loved you so much that He let His Son Jesus die for you so you can have a relationship with Christ and live forever with Him in freedom. People are often surprised when they really start reading the Bible about how sinful some of these like well-known hero guys are. So you look at David and what he did with Bathsheba, and you're going to go, wait, man after my own heart? I don't get that. So we see that the hope of the Bible, the hope of this study is not that you're going to walk away and be a better person. The hope of the Bible, the hope of this study is that you know that your sin was so bad that Jesus had to die, but that He loved you so much that He was willing to die so you can have a relationship with him. The greatness of our sin, the greatness of his love. That is the gospel. It's God's loyal love, no matter what, in triumph and in trouble. Do you believe that for you? I hope you'll consider that this week. You know, sometimes it's easier for me to believe that's true of somebody else than it is true for me. One thing we always say to our kids is, I love you no matter what. Now, some kids don't put that to the test. Others do. One of ours did. Lying, rebellion, drugs, serious alcohol, a string of boyfriends who are not who you would dream of for your daughter, teen pregnancy, and friends who encouraged her self-destructive behavior. And boy, did she ever experience consequences. But what we said to her over and over, like, what you're doing, it's not okay. But we still love you. So after a number of years, God brought her back to himself in a really dramatic way. She just moved to Fort Worth, and she is married to a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary. Are you kidding? God can take things that are broken and put them back together. So I think she may have more of a treasure than our other kids, because when she heard, I love you no matter what, she knows that that's true. I think God said it best in Romans 8. In verse 35, he says, who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, you're more than a conqueror through him who loved you. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation, even your worst sin, even the worst moment of your life, even the worst thing that's happened to you, none of those things will be able to separate you from the love of God that's in your Lord Jesus Christ. My favorite thing I've discovered at Costco, hands down, the fried jalapenos. So I even took a picture of them so you can go find them at Costco yourself. They are so awesome. So they're like real jalapenos with this kind of like crust on it, and then the fried, kind of everything great all combined into one. So if you know Neil and me, like, we love all things spicy. So Neil says on food, he goes, if it makes you cry or sweat, that's how you know it's good. So this stuff delivers. It is great on everything. Like, you can put it on soup, salad, sandwich, burger, eggs. Like, this is great stuff. So for me, this discovery, it's just made everything more spicy and more flavorful. Our prayer for you is that you'll walk away from this study and that you'll go, wow, I had no idea this part of God's word was so real and so relevant to my life. Like, that I could relate to these people that lived a long time ago. We pray that this study will increase your love for God and your love for his word. So why do we know the word of God? We know the word of God in order to know the God of the word. So during this study, you may cry a little bit, you may sweat some, but your life will be more spicy and more flavorful because of being in this study. You'll know God's love for you in a deeper way, and God will show you things you never knew you needed. Are you ready? You pray with me. Lord, thank you for your word and the power of your word. Lord, I pray for these women tonight that have been prayed for, that you have brought here by no accident. I pray that the small groups will be fun and that every woman will get a little glimpse of why you have brought her here. I pray your presence will be strongly felt in those rooms, Lord, and that you will begin to weave women's hearts together to process your word, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of being in this place, and we just commit this year to you and pray all these things in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.